All right. Good morning, church. It's good to be with you. Great warm welcome on this rainy day. Thank you. My name is Mike Tucci, and I'm one of the speakers here at Skyline, and we are in the middle of this series, in case you haven't guessed by now, the name is Shape, engaging with and enjoying God's work in each one of us. And in week one, we started out with the idea that you are God's piece of artwork. The Bible tells us that we are God's workmanship. And there's two things that I want you to remember about that message. The first one is that you are specially shaped, right? That each one of us is unique in the gifts and abilities that God gives us. And therefore, number two, you have a very specific way of fitting into God's larger masterpiece that he's building, right? It's kind of like that puzzle piece, right? You fit in that one spot and only you fit there. And then in week two, we talked about, well, what is the purpose of ministry? Why do we do what we do? And it all boils down to two things, loving God and loving people. And so last week then, we finally actually got to begin to dive into the SHAPE acronym itself. And SHAPE, as we've heard over and over again, stands for spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. Pastor Chris taught us all about spiritual gifts and your heart last week, and that leaves those final three things for us today. And so when this series was originally drawn up, the title that was given to today's message was Shape Part 2. Shape Part 2. I don't know about you, but that left me a little flat. I thought we could maybe do better than that. So I noticed that when you take the S and the H away from Shape, what are you left with? Ape. So I told our hosts today that our word of the day is going to be ape, and they could make whatever they could make out of it, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually change the title of the message, and now it's going to alternatively be known as Putting the Ape into Shape. So that's what we're all about today, and so here we go. Now, when my wife Lynn and I were only married for just a couple of years, our church at the time had hired a new youth pastor and his wife. Their names were Dwight and Bonnie Peterson. And Dwight and Bonnie hadn't been at the church very long when we got a phone call from them, and they said, would you like to come over for dinner? We'd like to kind of get to know you guys better. I mean, we were about the same age as them, and we really did hit it off with them. But I have to tell you that when the new youth pastor and his wife invite you over for dinner, there might be a few strings attached. It might not just be for dinner. And sure enough, as we got to the end of the evening, the question came, we need help. We don't have anybody to work with us in this youth ministry. It really kind of, at that church, it used to be something that had been really big, but it kind of had fallen on hard times, and they were basically starting from scratch. So they said, we would like you to consider being our junior high youth group leaders. And I didn't have to think about that long to know that that is not what I considered myself, you know, doing. That is not the ministry where I thought I fit in. I didn't think I could relate to junior hires. Mind you, I was only 7 years removed from my own teenage years, but somehow I thought that maybe I was more sophisticated now. But I had all these excuses. I think, you know, deep down, I was probably just scared that I wouldn't be accepted by them, that I'd be laughed at them. But I had these excuses, these reasons for not engaging in ministry. And I think it was probably just guilt and shame that they had no one to work with them that finally put us over the edge, and we said yes. And I have to tell you, it was one of the best decisions that we ever made, was to get involved with junior hires in that ministry. Last week I asked some of my life group men what were their excuses for not engaging in ministry. And here's a partial list of what we came up with. Either too busy, too scared, too distracted, too costly. Somebody actually said they were afraid that the sacrifice that they were going to have to make was going to cost them too much. Feeling inadequate to the task or unqualified, it's a popular one. And then some people just feel like, well, it's optional. Right? It's not really like something that you have to do. It's just something that you can decide to do or not to do. And one of the most common excuses that people give for not engaging in ministry is, I just don't have any abilities to offer. And I have to tell you that that really is lame. Because all of us have dozens, if not hundreds, of unused, unrecognized, and untapped abilities that we can use in God's service. You know, there are many studies, I was actually shocked to read this, but this is what it said. There are many studies that say that the average person possesses, okay, you ready for it, 500 to 700 skills and abilities, far more than any of us recognize or give ourselves credit for. And every ability that you have can be used for God's glory. And the Bible says that whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So let's go back to that SHAPE acronym and let's dive in with the letter A, which stands for abilities. And so here's a question that I had the first time that I was introduced to this SHAPE acronym. How are abilities different from spiritual gifts? Okay, maybe you had that question as well. Well, when we're talking about abilities, we're talking about natural abilities. And so the short answer is that spiritual gifts are given to us at the moment of our spiritual birth. When we say yes to Jesus' offer of salvation by grace through faith, we are spiritually born into God's family, and that's when we receive our spiritual gifts. Natural abilities are given at the moment of our natural or physical birth. So that's the difference. Now, spiritual gifts are one thing. Natural abilities are another. And as we think about the next illustration I want to give you, it actually goes back to my younger years. One of my favorite movies growing up was Raiders of the Lost Ark. And there was something about that movie that really touched a chord in my boyish heart, I think, that longing for adventure. You know, I really wanted to be Indiana Jones, this kind of sophisticated college professor by day, but then the swashbuckling archaeologist by night. And in that first Indiana Jones movie, the prize that they were all going for was the Lost Ark of the Covenant. That's the same ark that is described in detail in the Bible book of Exodus. And did you know, though, that the Bible actually singles out the person that God handpicked to build that ark? Read with me in Exodus 31 what it says about that. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship.'" That last part there, ability, intelligence, knowledge, and craftsmanship, that's all wrapped up in this word abilities that we're looking at in the acronym. So in a few weeks, we are going to conduct what's become an annual event at Skyline. It's our Awana Grand Prix. And our kids will get their kits that have this block of wood that they get to craft. They get to design it. They get to try to make it go as fast as they can as a little wooden car. It's going to race. And alongside the Awana Grand Prix, one of the things that we've started to do is we've created what we call the Awana Grand Prix Workshop. It's a woodworking shop that we throw together over there at the house. And we just have men and women who have that ability come and help the kids to craft their car. Now, I have to tell you, last year, Glenn Miles was the master woodworker at our shop. If you wanted a car that was going to look good, you went and found Glenn to help you make that car. He had the tools, which he brought himself, his own tools. He had the knowledge, and he had the craftsmanship to do a really, really great job with that. You see, Glenn is shaped for that ministry, as simple as that might sound, because of the natural abilities that he's acquired in that area. See, God has a place, and I believe God has actually several places for all of you, a place in this church where your special abilities can shine and can make a difference. And just like in this passage in Exodus, God is calling us by name. He's calling us out to do that special thing for him. And it's our purpose to try to find out what that is. You know, we have a team here, the concierge team, and that's one of the things that they are called to do, is to come alongside you and to help you figure out where in this church you can minister best. But ultimately, it's up to you to actually take that step. So this leads me to our first big idea of the day. That's right, it's only the first one. There's going to be several today. In terms of abilities, all of us are a 10 at something. So exercise your 10 within the family of God. You know, your natural ability might be that you're good with numbers, or it might be that you're just a natural-born leader. Well, God knows we need leadership in the church. It might be that you are mechanically handy. Now, I have to pause there and tell you my story about mechanically handy. It's actually not my story, but so years after we had called that youth pastor and they had served and then they had moved on, and then we had some other youth pastors in between, and then it was time we needed another youth pastor. So we went and called for a candidate to come, and he was coming from Michigan, and so they needed somebody that he could stay with that weekend that he was going to be there, and we were going to be interviewing him, and he was going to be interviewing us, and so he came. His name was Chris High, by the way. And so my first meeting with Chris High was when he came to candidate to be a youth pastor. And the thing that I remember the most about that trip, he stayed at our house. I think it was a Friday night. We had dinner. And after the dinner, we went into the kitchen, and it was time to, you know, wash the dishes. And we had this garbage compactor thing that always clogged up the sink. So sure enough, we're trying to wash the dishes, and the sink is backing up. And don't you know, he's like, I could fix that for you. I was like, this guy's invited to our house. We've never met him before. It wasn't long before he had his sleeves rolled up. He was under the kitchen sink in the cabinetry working his magic. And yes, he did get the sink unclogged. But that's who he is, right? He's mechanically handy that way. And I wasn't. So that's what he did. That was the first time we ever met. But, you know, it might be that maybe you're not mechanically handy, but maybe you're the life of the party. Did you know that being the life of the party is actually an ability? It's like if you have that gift, like there's places where we can use you in the body. Or you might be meticulously organized. We have lots of places where we need your organizational skills. So anyway, there's some things that you are just naturally gifted towards, and we want to help you identify what those are. That's part of your shape, and that in turn is going to help you really maximize the impact that your ministry can have. Jesus tells us a parable of three servants. They were each given an amount of money. Back in the day, they called them talents, but it was actually like physical money. And the master was going away on a long trip, and he gave them this money, and he expected them to invest it And when he came back, he checked in on the servants. And sure enough, the first two had invested the money and they had made more and they gave that back to him. And then we read, then the man who had received one bag of gold, the third servant, he came and he said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, so I was afraid. And I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Now, needless to say, the master was not happy with that servant. My point is this. Don't hide your ability, your talent, in the ground, under a rock, especially here at the church, right? Use it to make God's kingdom flourish. So now we get to move on to the P in shape, which stands for personality. You know, there's many tests out there that you can take to determine what personality type you have. One of the more famous ones, and they use this in HR, is the Myers-Briggs type indicator. Maybe you're familiar with that one. But what do you need to know about personality if you're trying to discover your shape for ministry? Well, this morning we're going to kind of simplify it really a lot, and I'm going to boil it down. I'm going to give you four different types of personality that you may fit into. It's a kind of a simplistic way of thinking about it, but follow me here. You see, some of us are talkers, all right? Talkers, I think you know who you are, or if you don't know, at least we know who you are. And some of us aren't so much talkers, but we are feelers, right? We just really feel at the deepest level those emotions. That's who we are. And then some of us are thinkers, right? Me. And then others of us, like Pastor Chris, are doers, right? Talkers, feelers, thinkers, doers. Now, currently, there are three people here at Skyline who are on the speakers team. Okay, there's Pastor Chris, there's Derek Rodriguez, and there's yours truly. I'm not sure how I got onto the speakers team because I am not a talker, all right? If you know me, you know that that's not my personality. That's not my default mode, okay? Which just goes to show that, you know, you can minister in areas that are just not your strong personality type. You can. I also mentioned earlier about the Awana Woodworking Shop. Now, every year, somehow I have to organize that. But I bring my coping saw, but you really don't want to go to my bench if you can go to Glenn's. Because that's not my, like, strong suit either. But what I do love to do, and this is because of my personality, involved with the Awana Grand Prix is I make the spreadsheet that determines, like, tracks all of the race times, and then it ranks and sorts the winners out of all of those races that we do, right? Because that's my personality. I love that aspect of it. All of us have the capacity to talk. All of us have the capacity to feel and to think and to do. But some of us have more capacity in one of those areas than the other. And so I would encourage you to figure out how you are shaped in terms of your personality and love people from the center of that personality. We're going to reread or reintroduce a verse that we've already brought up in this series. It's Mark 12:30. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, I want you to watch how beautifully that verse dovetails with what we just said about personality. You see, talkers love God with all their heart. Feelers love God with all their soul. Thinkers love God, you guessed it, with their mind. And finally, doers get to love God with their strength. All of us have a center. The question is, are you loving people from the center of who you are? So last week we introduced you to the SHAPE assessment tool, and I want to mention that again today. It's designed to help you determine your total shape for ministry, and it includes all five of those areas, right? So there's lots of questions that are going to help you kind of determine what that shape is, and that includes personality. And so if you haven't already done so, I invite you, jump on the Church Center app. Not now, but this afternoon. Wait till I'm done speaking. And take that assessment, right? It's going to really help to kind of clear things up for you that way. So finally, we come to the E in SHAPE. Here's what you've all been waiting for this part, right? It stands for experiences. And so here's our third big idea of the day. All of us have unique experiences. So only you can employ those in God's service. You know, I can't minister to someone based on your life experiences. That's why we need everybody to get in the game. So I grew up in a somewhat protected environment. It was an evangelical Christian home in the middle of a mostly white suburban neighborhood. And I recognize that many of you may have grown up in urban center, like Newark or Passaic or Patterson. Suffice it to say that we've had some different experiences, right? Just based on how and where we grew up. The awesome thing is that God is using all of these diverse experiences to build Skyline into one equipped family. It couldn't be what it is without that diversity. It's a beautiful tapestry of humanity. You know, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." So you've been shaped by your experiences in your life, most of which were beyond your control. God allowed them for his purpose of molding you. I want you to let that last statement sink in. God allowed all of those experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, for his purpose of molding you. So in determining your shape for serving God, you should examine at least five different kinds of experiences. And the first type is ministry experiences. All right, how have you served God in the past? That's part of your shape. For me, I told you, one of the first ministry experiences we had was junior high youth group ministry. And then from there, it's been many, many more. Second one is work experiences. So what jobs have you been most effective at and enjoyed the most? For me, it kind of comes down to like analysis. I'm an engineer by trade. I love to crunch numbers. I love to make sense out of numbers and trends. That's who I am. What is it for you? Number three, educational experiences. What were your favorite subjects in school? Mine were math and physics and maybe a little bit of history, but that's part of my shape. How about yours? Number four, spiritual experiences. What have been the most meaningful times in your relationship with God? For me, I could say men's retreats, and then teaching and being taught biblical truth. That's what shaped me. And then lastly, painful experiences. From what problems, hurts, thorns, and trials have you learned? And what have you learned in those trials? So if we go back to around the time when Lynn and I we're getting to know Dwight and Bonnie Peterson. We were also at that time trying to start a family. And we decided that we wanted to start a family, and then for about a year we tried with no success. So probably about a year into it, we said maybe we should consult some medical people, see if we can try to figure out why this isn't working. So then for another year, we tried a bunch of different things under medical advice, still no kids. And so that became a bit of a painful experience for us. We began to think at certain point in time, like it's just not going to happen. And maybe adoption is what God has for us. And then our prayers were answered, and Lynn got pregnant, and we had Charlotte. And then about a year and a half after that, we had Emma. And a year and a half after that, we had Corinne. And then 2 years after that, we had Dwight. So God was gracious to us, gave us a full quiver. In going through that experience, we learned some things. We learned that we could trust God no matter what, and really came to the point of believing that his plan was going to be okay, whether it was natural kids, whether it was adoption, whatever it was. And in going through that experience, we recognized that we had the ability to minister to other couples who now we began to find out were going through the same experience that we had gone through. And so we were able to empathize with those couples because we had gone through the same thing that they went through. Here's the deal. Shared painful experiences create affinities where you would never, ever be able to minister to somebody, but now you have a connection. 1 Corinthians 1:4 tells us that God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. What painful experiences has God brought you through, maybe this year, so that you can minister to others? Caring for aging parents, dementia, pediatric cancer, a lost loved one, addiction, recovery, divorce, bankruptcy, homelessness. The list goes on and on. And as difficult as these experiences are, God does not waste them. He uses them so that you can be an encouragement to someone else who's going through the same thing, because that's how you have been shaped. So the overarching question that you should be asking yourself throughout this series is, how has God shaped me? Because knowing your shape can give you confidence to step out in faith, to identify the call of God on your life, and to say yes to ministry. And just like God called Bezalel by name to build that ark, so today he is calling you by name to love people and to love God. The question is, will you accept that call? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's a beautiful thing when we can look and recognize that you are shaping each one of us just like a master puzzle to fit together to make this beautiful tapestry of humanity. God, you have given us a wonderful family here at Skyline, diverse, just wonderful people. And God, each one of us has a special ability or more that you are calling us to use to make that tapestry even more beautiful than it already is. God, I pray that you would help each of us to really be able to understand how it is that you have shaped us and how that can be used in people's lives to love them and to show our love for you. God, help us as we wrestle with this idea of how you've shaped us and what you're calling us to do. Help us to hear from you, and then help us to have the courage to say yes to whatever it is you're asking us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.